This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Gretchen Goldman, Research Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Gretchen leads research efforts on the role of science in public policy, focusing on topics ranging from scientific integrity and government decision-making to political interference in science-based standards. Gretchen Goldman is here to discuss the UCS report, Sidelining Science Since Day One, How the Trump Administration Has Harmed Public Health and Safety in Its First 6 Months. Welcome, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me, Diane.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Union of Concerned Scientists?
Sure. The Union of Concerned Scientists is a nonprofit. We've been doing science policy since 1969. We were founded by a group of Massachusetts Institute of Technology professors and students who were interested in making sure that science was happening for the public good. And so we've since evolved to take on a number of issues, anywhere from sustainable agriculture to government decision-making work that I do to climate change and clean vehicles and nuclear power.
What are the goals of the Union of Concerned Scientists Center for Science and Democracy?
The Center for Science and Democracy at UCS is interested in making sure that science appropriately informs decisions. So this is making sure that people have access to scientific information and that the science that reaches decision makers isn't inappropriately influenced by special interests, and making sure that we conduct the science that we need to make informed decisions. So we work on this a lot these days at the federal level and making sure that decisions made by the government and by Congress are informed by science. But we also do this at more local levels and working with industry to have science-based decisions. And so it really runs a gamut of different ways that we can make sure that science is appropriately informing things.
In what ways can science help support democracy? Ideally, what is the role of science in government?
It is crucial that we have evidence to inform our policies. If we aren't using scientific evidence to make decisions that affect all of our lives in this country, what is that going to be filled with? What we're going to do if we don't have evidence to inform our decisions is that that's going to leave a void that might get filled by private interests or people out for other special interests that limit the ability to make sure we have policies that protect people, protect the environment, and are otherwise based on science. And so we think it's very crucial that scientific information inform what kinds of things that we do. And we know that this has impacts on people's lives, on everything from our food safety to making sure workers aren't exposed to chemicals, to keeping our air clean and our water clean. These are all policies that are science-based, and we need to keep it that way.
You have recently published the report, Sidelining Science Since Day One, How the Trump Administration Has Harmed Public Health and Safety in Its First 6 Months. Before we go into more detail, would you give an overview of how the Trump administration is diminishing the role of science and what's at stake?
The Trump administration has made clear from the start that they are hostile to science and the important role that it plays in decision-making across the government. We saw early signs in the campaign that it was likely not going to go well if this became the presidency. And since day one, we've seen this administration put science on the sidelines, ignore science in places where they should be following science. They've been dismissing scientific advice left and right and disparaging the role of scientists, both within and outside of the government. So it's really been, so far, an all-out assault on science by this administration.
How has the treatment of science changed in the Trump administration compared to past administrations?
You know, it's somewhat different than past administrations, though we do see scientific integrity policy issues happen in all administrations. So all modern presidents have had scientific integrity issues, and my organization has documented them. We saw examples under President Obama, under President Bush, but we're really seeing a different variety under the Trump administration. In the past, we've seen a lot of decision makers making decisions based on politics, but claiming they're basing it on science. Or in the Bush administration, we saw a lot of changing of scientific data, so tampering with scientific information to make it fit their policy agenda. But under the Trump administration, we're sort of seeing a different variety in that they, in many ways, aren't even giving science a seat at the table. They're not even pretending to be using science. They're simply not listening to the scientific advice they're getting. They're removing scientists from being a part of the conversation, even. And so really seeing it happen at a different level, that's very concerning to us.
Would you go into detail and give examples of the ways in which the ability of science to inform policy has been eroded?
Sure. One of the fairly early on examples that we found especially egregious was the decision by the administration to not ban the pesticide chlorpyrifos, which is a pesticide that we know causes health effects, particularly in children that are exposed or in workers that are working in fields where this pesticide is being applied. And this is something that the scientific community at large knew that this was a harmful pesticide, and the EPA's own scientists also found it to be harmful. And yet Administrator Pruitt at the Environmental Protection Agency chose to go against that view of scientists and not ban this pesticide from use. And as a result, we know now that workers and children are going to be needlessly exposed to this. And this is problematic because we know that this pesticide causes neurological problems. It causes brain damage in children. And so this was especially terrible to see happen. And that really exemplifies this administration's treatment of science.
Would you comment also on the people that Trump has appointed for scientific positions and also the fact that some positions are still vacant?
We have seen many vacant positions, but actually we're coming up on the anniversary where it's the same time period by which it had taken the Bush administration to appoint a chief scientist, so a head of the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House, which we have not seen this administration appoint someone yet. And if he doesn't appoint one soon, it will now have taken longer than the past two administrations to appoint a science advisor. And then perhaps more concerningly, across the government, we've seen many scientific positions go unfilled. Chief scientists at many federal agencies that deal with scientific information very heavily have not seen an appointee. Of interest this week, of course, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which runs the National Weather Service and does all the forecasting for hurricanes and other severe weather that we experience in this country, does not have an administrator yet. There's not been appointed a head of NOAA nor a chief scientist yet. And so we're sort of witnessing exactly the challenges of not having information at different levels, because these are crucial positions to fill, and we need to make sure we have the best leadership and scientific expertise that we have in government.
Would you comment also on what the environment has been like for scientists that work within the federal government and how their work has been affected?
Scientists within the government are in a tough spot right now, to be honest. We've heard from folks that there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of fear about what this administration will allow them to do and not do. And more so than in past administrations, what we're seeing a lot of is what we call self-censorship. And so this is not necessarily overt political interference where a political appointee is interfering in scientific work, but scientists themselves or other career staff in agencies are choosing not to do things that they think might draw attention of the administration or might be politically inconvenient for the administration. And so we already saw that early on at the Centers for Disease Control was expected to have a climate change conference, and they canceled the conference in anticipation of the administration not wanting it to occur. And so we're really worried about that kind of thing, because if we get into a place where scientists don't feel free to talk about their science to the public, then the public is going to suffer. We're not going to get the kind of crucial scientific information we need coming out of the government if people are worried about the political ramifications of talking freely about their science.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Gretchen Goldman, Research Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Our topic is the report, Sidelining Science Since Day One, how the Trump administration has harmed public health and safety in its first 6 months. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Would you comment also on the appointment of conflicted individuals to scientific leadership positions?
This has been the other problem that we've seen. In addition to simply not filling positions, many of the positions that have been filled by this administration have been filled by people with very clear conflicts of interest in what they're planning to do. And so this is very problematic for a few reasons. One is that when we combine this with the lack of transparency that's so far been true of this administration, then we have a recipe for decision-making that's not in the public interest because we don't have that accountability on what decisions these people are making. And they do have conflicts that are incentivizing them to make decisions in their personal interest or their business's interest. And so, you know, the administrator of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, has strong ties to the fossil fuel industry, for example, and he's, in fact, sued the EPA over many of its science-based rules, and he's now leading these efforts at EPA's. And so, you know, it certainly raises questions about his ability to follow EPA's mission when his record shows he fundamentally disagrees with that mission and the use of science in the EPA's mission. So this is very concerning. We've so far seen that the head of the Food and Drug Administration, Scott Gottlieb, Commissioner Gottlieb, is also somewhat conflicted. He was on the board of an e-cigarettes company, and so we might also question his ties there and how those affect his ability to make decisions. So we have seen a few of that across agencies, and this is not even to say who's filling the lower level positions, which in some ways are people that can do more damage. One especially egregious one also at a lower level is the appointment of Nancy Beck at EPA. And so she came from the American Chemistry Council, which is the industry lobbying group for the chemical industry. And she's now in charge of the implementation of EPA's Toxic Substances Control Act. So that's the law that controls chemicals and products. It makes sure that products are safe from any harmful chemicals. And she came from an organization that has lobbied very heavily against strengthening of that rule. And so that's a very concerning one to me, because the result of that could be that we have products that are less safe, that contain harmful chemicals, and we won't know, but we have a chemical industry lobbyist essentially making those decisions now at EPA.
What steps has she taken so far to influence the Toxic Substances Control Act?
It's hard to know exactly where it is in the process, but we know that she's currently working on the implementation of that rule. So, you know, Congress updated TSCA for short a few months ago, and now the EPA is charged with implementing that rule and thinking about how we regulate chemicals and what are the sort of new chemicals to look at as priority chemicals. And so those have been selected, and we're also looking at exactly how it's going to be implemented. So I think this raises questions about if there's any sort of delay they're going to build in to sort of buy industry more time before this rule is in effect. I think they might affect the internal pace at which EPA is able to work. Certainly, we know there's many people leaving the agency. The administration is trying to buy out jobs to try to reduce the amount of staff there, and so far that seems to be working to some degree. We've seen hundreds of employees leave the EPA. And so I think that is going to have a big impact on the agency's ability to get things done and how quickly they can work. So I expect that to be something we should continue to watch to see what's happening.
What are some examples of science-based pollution standards that have been weakened during the first 6 months of the Trump administration?
We've seen a few policies be walked back. One of them that the president signed into law was the Stream Protection Rule. So this was a rule that was issued at the end of the last administration designed to protect streams from mountaintop removal mining in Appalachia. And this was revoked by Congress and signed by the president. And so as a result, we now know that those streams won't be protected from any mining pollution. And that's going to have impacts to people downstream who are now going to be needlessly exposed to harmful contaminants in any mine waste that comes downstream. We've also seen chlorpyrifos, which I mentioned. We saw a chemical safety rule that's been delayed so far by this administration, and the impacts of that were especially apparent this week when we saw chemical facilities break down in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. One facility owned by a company called Arkema actually had several explosions because they lost power and couldn't maintain the appropriate temperature for chemicals. And there was a lot of scrambling in the media and the public and local communities to figure out what was in that facility, what the risks were to public safety in a situation like this, where we knew there was a breakdown in their chemical products there. And so this is a really good example of why we need stronger chemical safety laws, but yet the administration walked it back in June. It's now delayed until 2019. And so we won't have that kind of information that would have been so vital in the wake of Harvey, of knowing exactly what chemicals are on these sites, what are the risks, where are they stored, you know, information that would be really vital for emergency first responders and local communities to have in these types of situations.
How have rules protecting workers from exposure to toxic chemicals been affected during the first months of the Trump administration?
We've also seen this administration walk back several worker safety protections. We saw early on when it comes to silica, there was a delay of implementation of that. And silica exposure, we know, is harmful. It causes silicosis in workers. And this is something we've known for decades. The science on this is very clear. This is a problem. And yet they argued that industry needed more time to comply with that. And it's now been delayed as a rule. The other one that's also been walked back is a beryllium standard. Beryllium exposure is also known to be harmful, and it's especially strong in that any exposure at all to beryllium is problematic from a health standpoint. And so this is another chemical that should be a priority to protect people from. And yet we're seeing the administration walk it back. And, you know, this was especially concerning to see around Labor Day that there's just really not been any efforts by this administration to protect worker safety.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Gretchen Goldman, Research Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Our topic is the report, Sidelining Science Since Day One, How the Trump Administration Has Harmed Public Health and Safety in Its First 6 Months. Would you comment on the Trump administration's attacks on climate science and rollbacks of climate change safeguards?
Climate has come out as a clear target of this administration. We saw right out of the gate, we saw them look for the words climate change on websites and change some websites that referenced climate. We've seen them focus on grants that are mentioning of climate science, and they've been revoking grants that are around climate science. Seen them certainly target climate science in the budget as well, with trying to minimize programs and issues that surround climate change. And that's also an area where we're seeing a lot of self-censorship of people who are choosing not to say climate change or global warming in their work to make sure that they don't get the attention of the administration, since they have been very clear that this is a target of a lot of their cuts and a lot of their political agenda. And so that's very disheartening to see, given that we know climate change is already impacting the country in various ways. You know, this week, of course, much of the country is on fire, and we're seeing hurricane impacts and prepping for new hurricane impacts soon with Irma. And so this is really an ongoing issue that we're seeing the impacts of now. One sort of obvious example was revoking of an executive order. A few weeks ago, President Trump revoked an executive order that would have required our infrastructure to be ready for floods and sea level rise, and making sure that we have robust infrastructure, and that was revoked. And, you know, we're seeing the impacts of having infrastructure that isn't designed to withstand these kinds of pressures. And I think in the wake of Harvey, we're going to see that even more as Houston starts to rebuild.
What steps has the Trump administration taken in regard to car standards?
The Trump administration has also been targeting vehicle standards. There's actually an ongoing issue right now with public hearings around it. He's walking back many of the science-based emissions rules that we've seen. And so vehicle standards are one place where we've been very successful in reducing emissions that are harmful to people's health and reducing global warming emissions. We've seen a lot of progress in that department. And as cars get more efficient and we see a lot more technology that comes on and is able to address a lot of these issues, but the administration has already indicated that it's not making that a priority. And even though there's a lot of science saying these kinds of rules are effective and do reduce pollution, and we need to make sure that we are protecting public health to the maximum extent, but that's certainly not what we're seeing with this administration. And so vehicle standards have certainly been another target.
How would you evaluate the long-term damage of Trump's policies towards science?
I think we're watching it unfold at this moment. Many of the impacts are going to be felt over years and years, and it's going to take us a long time to rebuild from a lot of these impacts and a lot of things that are not happening now, where we're not prepared or we're not, you know, given the tools to maintain monitoring programs and to make sure that we're working towards protecting people from a lot of these issues. So a lot of these policies that they're walking back, I think those are things that, of course, could be reinstated when this administration ends. But I'm also worried about things that might happen to the process by which we use science to make decisions. So we've already seen this administration dismiss some federal advisory committees. So these are committees of scientists from universities across the country, so people outside of the government that just lend their expertise and their time to make sure that science is informing decisions. And we have these committees and they operate on everything from making sure that vaccines are safe and effective to keeping our food safe. There's panels on worker safety, on air pollution and water standards and all kinds of things where we have scientific experts weigh in. But if this administration, as it's done so far, walks back the infrastructure that allows that kind of scientific input, I'm worried about the ability that we'll have to actually use science in future decisions without those pipelines in place to allow scientists to inform the process. And there's a few places that Congress is currently trying to undermine the way that we use science to make decisions. They're trying to really undermine the ability of the EPA specifically to use science in the process. There's a few bills currently being debated, such as the Regulatory Accountability Act, that basically create new hoops for agencies to jump through that would really inhibit our ability to make science-based rules and would allow for industry lobbyists and others to really weigh in and interfere with the process. And so a lot of those sort of bigger issues I'm worried about, since that affects not just a single rule, but our ability to do any sorts of science-based, health-based rules in the future.
What steps can and are being taken to prevent science from being sidelined?
We are watching closely and we're following things that are happening, and it's really important that we all sound the alarm when we see things happen and really hold this administration accountable for the actions that it's taking. We've already seen that on some issues, this administration has been responsive to public pressure and public outcry over issues. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity there that we need to continue to be pushing on, is making clear that these are things we care about and things we're following, and they're going to have real impacts on people across the country, not just people in D.C. or not just certain groups of people, but this is really going to affect everyone and all of these issues. So I think we need to first just sound the alarm and make sure that we're being vocal about what's happening. I think there's a lot we can do in terms of mobilizing people and to push back in organized ways. And we're also working to make sure that folks inside of the government feel supported and we can help them as best that we can with making sure that they feel like they can do their jobs and helping them through any tough situation that they're in from inside the government, because we know there are these issues happening on the inside and those people need our support. And we do need government to have good people that are working on these issues, and that's a really important role right now as well.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Please follow along, and I hope that you'll continue to stay engaged on these issues and really help us articulate the value of science-based policy and making sure that we do continue to live in a country that uses evidence to make decisions. And so I'd encourage you to follow along. On our website is ucsusa.org, and our report, Sidelining Science from Day One, is at ucsusa.org/sidelining science.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Gretchen.
Thanks so much for having me, Diane.
You were just listening to Gretchen Goldman, Research Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. For more information, check on the web at ucsusa.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and on kexp.org.